Hi, I'm Aino.
And I'm Caroline.
And we are Icona Pop,
and you're listening to Friends of Dorothy.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Friends of Dorothy podcast with gal pal Candy Warhol and little old me, Kiki St. Clair. Candy, how you doing?
Is that our new intro?
Yeah, I decided. Isn't it cute?
You look stunning today. What shade of eye makeup is this that you're wearing?
Oh my God, I don't know, but this red face is looking gorge. Yeah, I was working last night, had a few little drinkies, so I'm not feeling great today. And I'm not 18 years of age anymore either, so that always also takes a toll on one's body.
It does take a couple of days. I've noticed that, which I really don't enjoy. I'm like, oh no, this is... not a done by the afternoon type of hangover
that's,
anymore.
And that's our jobs. Like, yeah, our jobs is to drink, so.
I know, I did a gig on Thursday and I was like, you know what? I have a lot to do this weekend, so I won't drink. So I had a Red Bull and it made me kind of queasy. I was DJing and I was like, oh, I don't like this. So I had a vodka and lemonade, you know, calm me down. and then I ended up having shots, another couple of drinks, and it just takes ages to recover. It was like the whole day, and it's like I know the
were
next
you not
day.
Like a sober queen for a while? This is just coming back to me.
I was sober for over a year.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I was sober for over a year, because like you said, like at gigs, too much drink is free, and it just kind of goes to your head sometimes. I don't like making a complete ass of myself on stage. I already make an ass of myself already with my drag. Yeah. So it was a lockdown though. It was drinking at home and like nothing to and also kind of having that time to go, okay, don't drink like an absolute, you know, crazy person, you know, go at your own pace. Which sometimes I forget still, but I'm much better now. I support everybody that drinks. And
those who don't. We see you too, sober people.
We see you too.
God, I'm so bad though, because like the drink just makes me tired. It makes me sleepy, so I have to drink vodkas and Red Bull. But I feel like such a little
teenager.
No
wonder you have such a crash. Like I know. My favorite is vodka and sparkling water. Like it's a basic twink drink. I know, not that I'm calling myself a twink, but
I don't think anyone else is either.
Well, I was more thinking of Adele King. But
did you see Twink on Gogglebox Ireland?
With Panty Bliss.
Oh, so
I didn't
funny.
See it. Was it good?
It's so funny. She had the bird with her and everything.
She didn't. She had Timby was there.
Yeah, he was there. And then they did a flashback to when she was hosting a show on TV 3 years ago. It was like a dating thing. It was just so funny. You need to look it up. It's probably on YouTube or something.
Okay, I looked that up. What channel was that on?
Virgin.
Okay, I'll look that up on the player. For anybody that's listening and doesn't know who Twink is, I mean, just go back and listen to every episode of the podcast. But Adele King is an absolute queer pop culture icon in Ireland for all the wrong reasons.
Did you talk to Twink?
No, we not to compare them, but we spoke to Linda Martin.
Oh, the other one, yeah.
The other one. I mean, we have two absolute icons that had a very infamous feud, ongoing feud in Ireland. But Twink is one of those people that...
is terrifying.
I don't know if I'd be able to interview her. I'm fascinated by her, and I would like to meet her one day, but to have on the podcast... You know, actually, no, I take that back. It would be iconic, but I have to say I would be quite intimidated.
Yeah, she
because, did. You know, when you don't know what to expect. But if Twink, if you're listening to this, at Friends of Dorothy Pod,
hit us up, girl.
Maybe one day. Jesus, we need to get you off those Red Bulls, though. Yeah, but sparkling water, because you might be a bit hungover from the vodka, but you don't have the sugar crash. And it's refreshing.
That's it. Actually, what's that drink that Dorit drinks on Beverly Hills?
Tito's vodka. No.
Tito's vodka. With the ice and the carcass out.
Oh, no, you're
out.
Thinking of, is that like a Belvedere or is that something else?
I think so. It's where she says carcass out.
Let me just, carcass out. Sorry, just fucking, just say squeeze the lemon, bitch. Like, let me just get this. Dorit Kemsley.
Yeah, Kemsley.
Dorit Kemsley drink. Because I do want to get this right. Oh, yes. It's a Belvedere and soda with three lemons, juiced and carcass out.
Carcass out, I live. Oh my God, she posted on Instagram, I think it was her, that the trailer for Beverly Hills... that the trailer for Beverly Hills is dropping next week, so that means we are getting frickin' episodes soon, thank God.
Okay, I have to say this though.
Oh, what you can say?
As much as I love her, how was Dorit still in that show?
I know. I think it's just the clothes.
Even then, I'm like, meh.
Yeah. You know? I'm going to miss Rinna, for God's sake. Like,
No, I can't stand her. You remember when you got me into Housewives in the lockdown? And you would, like, tell me things to get excited about. You're like, wait till Lisa Rinna comes into this. I think she came in season 5. Mm. And, yeah, when she came in, I was obsessed. I loved her because she was just, like, so funny and dramatic, and she was there to do her job and like make great television. But I think as the seasons went on, it just got too dark, and like she just was gunning for somebody, and it just became so not realistic.
Were there people doing coke in your bathroom?
Yes, there was. But anyway, back to this. you know what I mean? It was always like, okay, you could tell with certain housewives that they obviously have a team and they plan things. Like, remember that really famous scene where in New York when Bethany goes to Countess Luann and she's like, I saw the pictures of like your fiance with this other woman. And she's like, tell me it's not. And like that all came out that like she hired somebody to go take those pictures so that she could go. So like that happens all the time, and I think but Lisa Rinna, like, there's no hiding it. Like, it's so fake. So,
speaking of Bethany, have you seen that Bethany has now turned on Andy Cohen?
Yes.
On her pod, and she recently had NeNe Leakes on, and now she had NeNe. Yeah, I don't know if it's released yet, or maybe.
Well, those
it is,
are two of the biggest like housewife names, arguably.
And two of them bitching about Andy on the pod. Ooh. Now, I do...
they are calling it something... Oh, Reality Reckoning.
Yes,
Reality is what they're calling Reckoning. This movement. I need to be part of this. What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting. I do see where NeNe's coming from because... So NeNe kind of says that because she's a person of colour that she's been treated a little bit unfairly, because if we compare other housewives or other OGs, they've been treated a lot better. They're still all on the couch with Andy on Watch What Happens Live. NeNe is just cut out completely. So like Vicky is there, and all the other OGs are always kind of welcome back on the show and stuff. But
which then that's because NeNe's got too successful, and Andy would be like threatened by that.
I don't know what's going on, but it's like,
I'm just gonna check Andy and see.
Andy get Cohen. Him on the line.
He is one person that I have to say I would have zero interest in being in his company.
Oh God, no. He's just awful.
Narcissist, all about him. And he's made, life. Yes, exactly. And I hate that I always say this when I watch the show, because sometimes he does have quite entertaining guests, but I always think that he is desperate to be Graham Norton.
Yeah. But the fact that he's like, is he like the head of the network or something, or he's some really big high person up, and then he just gives himself a chat show?
Yeah.
Who does that?
I mean, we probably would.
But or no, G1, Wednesday
I think, you know, it's a funny one, because there's obviously so many people in reality TV who are desperate to be on TV as well, and you can see that. But, like, that doesn't mean you can, like, take advantage of them. I do find it very interesting that Bethany is coming out with this, but she's also somebody that I think is a bit, you know... She makes me uneasy.
Yeah, because she was caught, like, trying to produce some reality show, and she ended up giving someone this really nasty contract about what she was speaking out against, so it was a little hypocritical sense, but yeah. I don't know. And one last Housewives point, New New York. Have you been watching New New York?
I watched the first 2 episodes. Kiki, I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I was the same, and
maybe I need to binge it rather than going week by week. But
yeah,
I
think it's nearly all out now.
I just missed my certain girls. I needed a revamp, because remember that last season, that was so bad. Like it was so bad, and so I did need to see certain housewives go.
Ramona.
I was ready to see the back of Ramona. Mm. Like I couldn't take her anymore. Hated. Oh my God, the blonde one. The one who attacked our good friend, Heather Thompson.
Who was that again? I can't remember.
Exactly. the housewife that Heather Thompson came on and said, well, I was verbally attacked. I was attacked.
I know.
I was assaulted.
That was so funny.
She was only in 2 seasons of it. Anyway, I feel like people know who we're talking about. And sorry to that housewife.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome back to our Real Housewives of Everything podcast.
I know. But no, I miss Dorinda. I miss Sonia.
Yeah.
You know, I have a soft spot for Candice Luann.
You know, Luann and Sonia did a little mini series.
So I watched the first episode of it and I loved it, but I've been so busy. I need to go back and I need
cute.
To binge
it's
it.
It's just a nice, you just, what you'd binge
it's kind
it
of like
day.
Simple Life-ish. And
Simple
like,
Life meets Mature Ladies meets...
Yes.
Con- yeah.
Yes.
It's cute. It's cute.
So yeah, I need to watch that. And I know that they did also do New York girls trip.
Oh,
and they filmed
yes.
and they filmed that with Alex McCord.
Oh,
from seasons
Jesus.
1 to 4.
Jesus.
I know. You know I have a soft spot for Alex McCord because she's on another fucking planet.
They were gas, like, at the start.
They were gas.
Such
when you
like,
think back to those seasons, and Jill, like, I do love Jill.
Yeah.
But obviously, Jill is one person that I would love on this podcast.
Yeah,
and
she's
I think
cool.
she would do it.
I think so, too. She loves talking on the pods.
Yeah, we've obviously had Heather Thompson from New York, and we've had Sutton Strack from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I keep forgetting we got Sutton. That's so cool.
That was a big one.
Our own horns.
Really
that was so
big
cool.
One. That was amazing. Maybe let us know. Would you like to hear more Housewives on this podcast?
Or if you have turned this off because you don't watch Housewives, we'll stop talking about it.
Let's
next
move
week.
On. Let's move on. Oh, I saw a trailer yesterday. Britney Spears' Crossroads is coming back to the cinema for a limited run.
Oh, wow.
Because of just the iconic status of that movie. So yeah, that is coming back for 2 days in October to cinema. To celebrate the release of her book.
Shit, the book!
Yeah, the book is coming out, which obviously will be ghostwritten, but
yeah,
you know, I suspect we'll have some...
Who wrote this book?
I can't reveal my sources on that, but my bank account is full. Would you have any interest in going to see Crossroads? Were you like enamored by that at the time when it came out? I wasn't.
Yeah, it was cute. I wasn't like, I love, but I remember it was just one of those nice teeny boppy movies to watch at the time. Mm. Yeah, it was cute.
I wonder, going back to see it now with fresh eyes and also with like the current love of
oh,
like,
it's
YTK
probably fully
and, like,
racist, fully homophobic. I mean, they're probably killing gay people on it. Like, oh my God. I just love
Yeah, they will be they will be releasing it with apparently with like unseen footage. So that probably will be the scenes where she calls out the gays and like and the drag queens, you know. But no, I would say from a kind of like Showgirls, like an unintentional comedy aspect, mm-hmm. I'd say it would be entertaining to watch it now. I mean, I don't think it was very, not to diss her acting skills, but you know what I mean? The script, both the script and some of the acting skills, I'd say were quite questionable.
Oh,
so to watch it now.
Speaking of acting skills, Kim Kardashian in American Horror Story.
I knew you were going to bring this up. Okay. I saw you sharing this on your story and I didn't know what to think.
Oh, she's really good. Like,
oh, first I heard of it.
Girl, she is good. Like, she worked. She worked. I think she's very, very good. And that clip I posted on Instagram was her and Emma Roberts in the mirror. And Emma Roberts is wearing, which I think, I have to Google it, but I think it's the original dress that Madonna wore. I think it was to the 1991 Oscars. Where I think the one where she went with Michael Jackson. And I think it's the same dress. And that's why I was like, so camp. And then they started singing the song, Sooner or Later. Ah! Very gay.
I didn't watch it. I can't enable Emma Roberts after what happened with Angelica Ross. Sorry. I'm team Angelica Ross, and I've always... I don't use the word hate for people. I've just always really
disliked
Emma
Roberts.
Yeah,
no, I've never
Roberts
taken to her either.
Questionable
I've
acting
I've never taken
skills.
To her either. But you yeah, know. Angelica Ross is like, whew, she ain't happy, child.
And fucking rightfully so. I love Angelica Ross. You know, Candy and Pose, American Horror Story. Like, she's an absolute queen.
I love her too. But like...
She deserved a lot better than that fucking treatment from both Ryan Murphy, the team, and Miss Emma Roberts.
Okay,
and
yeah,
you know
fuck
what?
Emma Roberts for whatever happened. But like, what was the context of that? I don't understand.
No, there was various bullying reports from like the whole crew. Like that she came out and she says, you know, she was intimidating the director, screaming.
Oh God, take that
face.
All back. Emma Roberts, boo, Emma Roberts, boo, Emma Roberts can't act.
Yeah.
Don't cancel me.
And yeah, a couple of things of, you know, mimicking Angelica Ross's voice, but like lowering her voice. And then a director said, come on, ladies. And she turned around and said, don't you mean lady? And like laughed. So there was a laugh there.
Christ.
Watch the videos, you know. But and she has since said Emma Roberts rang her to apologize. But like the apology was probably questionable. Anyway, I'm not going to say that was the only reason I haven't watched the season, because also I'm just not a big Kim Kardashian or Emma Roberts fan.
Now, I'm not a Kim K fan either, but I was going to judge her harshly doing this and take the piss out of her. But I was like, you know what? I can't really.
I would be open to seeing it, and I wouldn't go in going, okay, just because she's, you know, an influencer or whatever, she's going to have bad acting. I just think, you know, the heyday of American Horror Story, when, remember, there would just be such a massive hype around like the promo campaigns and like the, it was actually scary. Like,
and they had some like veteran actors in it, like Kathy Bates.
Yeah, Kathy Bates, Jessica Lange, Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett did the thing.
I guess what you could call it is stunt casting. That's what Kim Kardashian was. That's what Lady Gaga was. But Lady Gaga turned it the fuck out and got a Golden Globe and became an Oscar winner.
Well, listen here. I see bright things in Miss Kim Kardashian's future. There could yet be an Oscar.
And then finally, just in, you know, faggotry gay news. Mm-hmm. This whole month I've just been celebrating with the release of Kylie's new album. Oh. It's just been on repeat for weeks. It's been on repeat.
It makes me so happy to see a woman of a certain age ruling the charts and the radio having to play
her. Why were you looking at me when you said that?
But the radio having to play her, because the radio are notorious for just not wanting to play shit. Like, they never play Madonna's music. They rarely play...
They're ageist.
Ladies,
that's why it's hard for us to get this podcast out. But I mean, there was no denying it that, like, I mean, all summer, you know, every pride, every drag show, every moment, you know, Padam Padam was the thing. But then Tension came out, and I was like, oh, it wasn't just a one-off. Like, this is going to be good. And yeah, like that.
Yeah, it reminds me of Fever, the album Fever. Yes. Not the same tone, but like, it's just
the hype.
It's the hype and the quality.
Yeah, I think I feel like this is like her Cher Believe moment of like gaining an extra new audience.
Even though was Cher like 60 when Believe came out, no? Or was she still in her 50s?
She was in her 50s.
Yeah, okay, fair.
So she was, she was a similar age, which is
that was like Cher Believe's Madonna was 50s for Confession.
Yeah, so like it's like these dancey kind of hits and stuff. But yeah, the album, like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm obsessed with every track on the album, but I would say the bulk of it is so good. And it's like, yeah, a real repeater. So I'm just like, I'm quite happy for her, but I really hope she tours with this because she didn't tour with Disco.
Oh, yeah, she needs a nice tour. I would definitely go see her, 100%.
Kylie Minogue, if you're listening and you need to promote your new tour or a possible tour, we would be happy to discuss possibly having you on the pod.
Possibly.
Did you watch I Kissed a Boy with Danny Minogue?
No, what's this?
Oh, BBC Three, mm-hmm. dating show. The UK's first gay dating show, hosted by Danny Minogue. And basically, they take 10 gays in episode one and they matchmake them. And before they mm-hmm. see each other or before they speak to each other, they have to walk mm-hmm. up and kiss each other. And then... Mm. By night two or three, then they get to say if they still want to be with the person. And then every few days, they'll keep on like putting in new gay guys and things like that. Well, what I really liked about it was, there was a few levels of it. So it was one, it was really camp. So, you know, Danny Minogue would like strut into the house with the backing track of like all Danny Minogue songs in these amazing dresses. And then they'd all be like, yes. So she was like living for herself and like rightfully so. And then two... You know the way, I don't know, Love is Blind or like, what's the main one that everybody, Love Island, can be trashy. Yeah, this had elements of trash, but then they had like mm-hmm. really lovely like conversations about being gay coming out. So like, apparently the whole team was queer and really looked after the cast. And then when somebody was kicked out, Danny Minogue would always bring them for a cocktail. And all the contestants said that, yeah, she'd bring them for like a drink for like hours and like catch up and like chat with them. And she like really took care of them. So now they're in the middle of filming season two, which is going to be I Kissed a Girl and it's lesbians.
Oh my God, with Danny as well.
Yes, with Danny Minogue. Yeah, so you can watch it.
I can't imagine there'll be as much cheering for the gowns.
Maybe she'd like come out in like, I don't know what's a stereotypical lesbian outfit, but like a little overall and like a hammer.
Birkenstock.
Imagine if she did, I'd actually kind of live. So.
I'm sorry, what are the personality types like? Like, I just have those, over the place. You know, those like 90s reality shows with the gays in them.
I thought it was really well cast. The only thing I would have liked to have seen is I would say there was no one past like mid-20s, and I think, you know, obviously mm-hmm. a thing in the gay community is like age isn't a thing, like a lot of younger guys like older guys, so I'd like to see them mm-hmm. mix that up. But no, they
so
had,
was it diverse? Did we have it was people very of color, diverse. Fat people, skinny people, muscle people?
It was quite diverse. Yeah, there was like a lot of POC people, body shapes, personality types. It was quite diverse. Yeah.
Good, you go, Danny.
Yeah, so if you're in the UK, you can watch that on BBC Three. If you're in Ireland, I just found it on Daily Motion.
Come on, Daily Motion.
So, let's get into this. Speaking of iconic pop stars, we don't have one guest today. We have two, because they're an iconic duo. We have Icona Pop on the show today.
Yeah, that was a brilliant segue, girl.
Thank you, my love.
Should do this professionally.
I know, shouldn't I? If someone could just pay me to do this. So, Iconopop, absolute iconic Swedish duo, first came out to our scenes. Can you believe that 10 years ago is when I Love It first came out? That doesn't feel like a decade.
Jesus Christ, why am I so old?
I know. Time flies when you're having fun.
So old yet still 18. I don't know what happens.
So Iconopop are back with a brand new album called Club Romantic, which I know there was a bit of an issue with because that's what you wanted to call your album. But listen, that's neither here nor there. We can't speak about that for legal reasons. But so we spoke to Iconopop. This interview actually happened...
2014?
2014, imagine. This happened over a year ago, this interview. We interviewed them while they were recording this album. And what was really cool, and we will release video clips at Friends of Dorothy Pod on Instagram. We recorded this interview from their recording studio. And I remember they showed us like little clip, like they showed also the recording studio was like, it was just quite cool to be speaking to a band in the middle of the recording process for an album.
Yeah, and they were so sound like pure, down to earth,
really really nice, really really
lovely,
nice,
lovely gals,
really lovely gals. And then they also sent me a disposable camera with pictures that they took across Sweden that was in our magazine, Dreamy magazine. Might release some of those pictures on our Instagram as well, at Friends of Dorothy Pod. Let's get into this. This was such a fun interview. They were so sweet, so sound, and it's really exciting now to see their new album out, and it's doing really well. Got really good reviews.
You know what, girl? I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
Here we go. Before we do that, let's listen to some of their new track. Here we go. This is Iconopop.
Hit it, DJ. I can't control or shut it down.
Feels like when you fall, la 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 la, falling, la la la, fall, la 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 la, falling, la la la, fall, la 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 la, falling, la la la, fall, la 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 la, falling, la la la. You got my mind 24/7, baby. It's
like,
hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey, pretties. Finally, yay, now we're here.
Yay, I'm so happy. How are you?
We're good. Yeah. How are you? Wow, you make me want to be at a party right now.
I wish.
Oh, yes, and we need a good party.
Are you living together or are you just, you're in your bubble together?
We are in the studio right now working on a DJ set.
Amazing.
Okay.
Creating a little, so we're actually having like a pretty good party vibe, even though it's just the two of us.
Yeah, totally.
I love it.
But here in
LA, I'm so jealous.
we don't live together, but in LA we have a house together.
Where are you guys based at the minute?
We're in Stockholm right now.
Oh, fab.
We've been here for a year. We thought we would be here for a month and then we just ended up staying.
Oh, I see.
It's been a weird year.
It's been a weird year and it's been crazy because we haven't been home like during winter time for, I don't know, 10 years. So it was so dark.
It was, I don't know how Swedish people do it. It's like... total
no
sun.
It's so dark. Yeah.
So we miss the sun.
We miss the sun, but hey, we are not allowed to complain. So
I know. But how long have you been living in LA?
7 years. Like 7 years or something back and forth. But we got our own place like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's when we felt like, wow, we finally have a home and we're not just, you know, living on a tour bus, even though we love living on a tour bus. And now we would do anything to be back on the tour bus. It's still nice to have like our own place.
Yeah.
So when things were getting kind of crazy last year, did you kind of go, okay, we need to be in Sweden and fly home?
Yeah, we were actually recording a music video and then we just noticed that the vibe was so, starting to get so weird and it already happened in Sweden. Like people started to, you know, when the toilet paper, everyone was out of toilet paper for that situation.
We were like, okay, this is about priorities.
Yeah.
People are, you know,
we were like, okay, it's happening here. Now we need to move quickly. So yeah, we basically just packed down a suitcase in like 2 hours. And then 12 hours after we were sitting on a flight thinking that we would be back in LA in like maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month. And
now we've been here like a year.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's also been It's been weird and it's been strange. And I mean, we've been questioning ourselves. Oh, like, we're God, so used to traveling and be on stage, and, you know, constantly getting fed with amazing, fun things and meeting amazing people. And I was like, who am I? Yeah. When I was alone in my apartment.
The silence.
Yeah.
The silence and your own thoughts.
Yeah. But I think it's been really good for us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, to just not travel every day, mm-hmm. and then also spend a lot of quality time together, but without any stress,
mm-hmm.
and get a little bit more time for family and friends.
Yeah, for the first time
in probably like a decade, because it's been crazy.
Yeah, I think that's one thing about the pandemic is like, how much time do we get to spend with our families that we probably never would have before? And it's been nice.
Totally.
Although enough is enough now.
Yeah, it's been done.
I love you, family, but.
Yeah.
No, when you think about it, things that you take for granted otherwise, and maybe even complain about, like, oh, I hate security checks. Now I wouldn't even complain. I would be like, hi, do you want to check my bag? No. You know, like,
I mean, this is what it is. Like, we are healthy, our families are healthy. So you, like, you can decide to see, be very negative because it sucks, but it sucks for everyone. And except like pharmacies and stuff.
Yeah.
We're all in the same boat. So, and I mean, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the last year was really hard. I mean, for everybody, but especially for performers, because we were like sitting in a quiet room. Yeah. And then the only good thing was every other performer was like, I'm in the same, the same position.
And also, I think everyone is just going to be, I think it's just going to go into like a happy rave after this, because people have been craving, you know, just having fun together with friends, feeling the energy of music.
Yeah.
And so it's just going to be like, full, I think on. People are going to go bananas. I know.
I was going to say, have you been staying creative? But obviously you've got the decks out, you're banging out some tunes. So it's been good.
Yeah. It's been both good and bad. I feel like now the past month, my inspiration has been like, oh, you know, you don't have anything to give. But DJing is always fun. And it always feels like it's a party.
Yeah.
In a way. So that's something that keeps like me alive. But, you know, writing new music, but you don't have anything to write about. That really sucks. You're like, a lot of times we go back to our like stuff that's been happening in our life when we write music. But now it feels like, I don't know, I haven't really felt that inspired lately.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been writing a lot.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. This year. And we've just been, I mean, you can't be creative 24/7, like 12 months, just like on and on and on. You have to, but we've been working so hard just to like, you know, do stuff and to stay creative. So I think we've been writing so much that maybe you're a little bit
fried in my brain.
You're fried in your brain. Yeah. Maybe you need to like not write.
Yeah, I need to
days.
Have the fix some drama in my life. So
I can create some drama.
So I can
make calls. Yes,
I love
but
it.
You feel like when you like stand on stage and you perform, you get that energy that you need to go back into the studio. And now it's been like, hello Zoom. Even though I love that we can.
But there's no adrenaline.
You know exactly.
Yeah.
So been both good and bad.
Yeah. Is it nice though to be able to kind of sit down and think about what you want to do? Because you're probably always like, you know, tour, gig. Is it nice now to just have the room to go, you know, maybe some new sounds or lyrics and things like that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's been really, really the best thing about this, because we never get the time that we want in the studio. And we always say like, okay, now we're going to say no to shows, but we never do it because we love it too much. So now it's been very good for us to just feel that we can experiment and also just be in the studio, you and me.
Yeah.
And I think we haven't really, I mean, in the beginning, when we started our band, we were in the studio, just the two of us, producing, writing, doing everything. And then it was a while ago that we really had the time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be, now when we're like all in it, it's hard to imagine what it's all going to sound like. But I'm very excited about what we've been creating so far. Me too. It's going to be interesting to hear.
Exciting. Yeah. Do you know, we know, like, I mean, obviously we're big fans, so we know that you met at a house party and you became friends. But I always, like, wonder, you said you met at a house party and the next day you had a band. Like, what the hell happened that night?
It was a really rough night. One hell of a night.
I imagine so.
I mean, it is a weird story because, I mean, it's... you can be quite nervous when you write with people the first time, or we used to be quite nervous, but it was, I think it was like the stars were aligned and then like both were in weird places in our lives and all of that, I think were,
I mean, we didn't have anything to lose.
Yeah.
I feel like if you would have been in a great position musically in your band and I would have been satisfied, we wouldn't have met in that way. But
I don't think so either.
We were like on that point where it's like, if we need to make something happen with the music now, otherwise I might have to start looking for other opportunities and options. And then we met and it was this energy that I felt like, where the hell have you been my whole life? And it was really love at first sight. I remember when you came in and I handed you a drink and I was like, hello. And we went out dancing and then we were like, we should write together. But you actually called me the day after and just like, hey, I'm coming over with a bottle of wine and we're writing our first song together.
Amazing.
And our first song was Sheriff Came to Town on a Big Black Horse. And it was like...
Tarantino
goes Sugar Babes. And,
amazing.
We called it Death Pop. And we felt like, okay, we have a band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how long between you first met, you started a band the next day, how far was it until you got signed?
That was a long, long trip.
I think it was maybe like, it felt very long, but I think before we got signed to like a development deal.
Sure. On the management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it wasn't like, yay, you know, like, but for us it was. It was a start of something. And it was with people that we really wanted to work with. So I think from when we met, maybe like a year.
Yeah.
And I was working in a coffee shop and you were working in a clothing store. Uh-huh. And we were just like trying to.
And then we DJed during nights.
Yeah. And we partied
in the club.
And we were in the studio. So we were like, this is not working. We need to figure out a way where we can only work with music.
Yeah.
Then we, so maybe a year.
And then we got signed to, one single with Kitsune, the French electro label.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the first one big thing that we did. And then we signed.
They found us on MySpace.
Yeah.
Oh my God. MySpace? Girls, we were.
Yes. I mean,
MySpace was, it was such huge. A cool thing.
Like a music community.
Yeah.
Like people reach out from all. The other side of the world. So Kitsune found us there basically. And then we started to work with them quite a lot and went to Paris and DJed and
amazing.
Had shows and hanged out with handsome French boys. Oh yes. Dear.
Yeah. Good, lovely time.
Good time.
Exactly what you should be doing.
Right now.
And then we actually moved to London for like a while because we got signed over there and we made an album. Then we part ways with that label and you were like, what are we going to, because they didn't really want to release I Love It.
Oh my
so
gosh.
We were like, okay, let's release it ourselves.
They feel stupid now.
Our manager.
But I'm very happy that we,
that it turned out that way.
Yeah.
It was, we didn't have the same vision of what Iconopop was. So,
And then after that, things started happening. But that was the crazy thing, that I Love It was released a long time before it took off.
Yeah, 1.5 years, I think.
Why was it that long?
I think like it was a little, it was bubbling in Sweden.
Yeah.
And then like blogs started to write about the song.
Yeah.
Blogs were huge.
we were like, thank you.
Do you remember Pop Justice?
Yeah, love Pop Justice.
That was the first time I heard it. And I was like, what is this?
I love those times though. Like I mean, those blogs had so much. It was like, oh, I wonder what new music that's going to come out now. And it, you know, it was so exciting. Yeah.
So exciting. Was that just crazy, Sophie, to release a song, but then almost 2 years later, people are like, then it was everywhere.
Yeah. And then it just, I mean, it took off.
Yeah.
And we, yeah. And another journey started, like we in the US and in the whole world. And we were just constantly traveling every day for maybe 4 years.
Oh yeah.
My God.
We were very tired and drank a lot of beer and we were rock stars. I remember,
we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had so much fun.
I'm so happy that we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Can you remember the first maybe moment that you were like, oh my God, this is it. Like we've made it.
I think one of the biggest moments were when we had a sold out show in a place called Glasslands in New York, and it's a venue that takes about 150 people, and we just felt like, wow, it's so, so cool that people did actually buy tickets to see us in New York.
Yeah. In New York, we were like, New York, you know, like
it was an epic place. And
yeah,
I think that's when we were like, oh my God, it's really happening.
Yeah. And also when we saw the song on Girls.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
That was also such an epic. That
changed everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we started getting tweets about it.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, wait, this is huge. You know, like when we saw the scene for the first time.
Yeah.
That was really cool. But then, I mean, when you start talking about memories, then you're like, oh, and that festival, and then that happened. And then we, you know, it's such a blur.
Yeah.
With glitter and a drunken glitter blur over those years. Yeah. It's like a shine over it. But and since then, we've just been amazing. Working and working.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is crazy. Yeah. Speaking of New York as well, what our favorite video for like probably Icona Pop video is All Night because of the voguing and the ballroom. Yay. Can we talk about that video and how that happened?
Can we talk about House of Extravaganza? Ooh. Oh my God. Like.
Yeah,
we had so much fun.
It was one of the most beautiful moments in our lives. And we actually got, we are a part of House of Extravaganza.
Yeah.
So my name is Camino of Extravaganza. And this is Caroline.
And we were like judges and we went like the real ball. And it was so amazing to see everyone express themselves. And it was a really, really beautiful. And also when we like practiced all the dance moves together, it was so beautiful.
It was something else. And it felt like, I don't know, if we felt like a big family. And
we felt so invited. Yeah, like
they took so good care of us and showed us all these cool things and what you were supposed to say on a ball. What do you call it?
Yeah.
A ball, yeah.
Ball. So
like it takes nerves.
It takes nerves.
Amazing.
Yeah, we love them. They're so
great. And fun. Since then they've always been like, you know, we've been supporting each other.
Yeah.
And it was really fun when they came and performed with us on America's Got Talent.
Oh yeah, amazing. Oh,
cool.
Yeah, that was so much fun as well. And we had great parties after.
Yeah. And then to give them that spotlight as well is great. Yeah. You know, just like use your platform so well. Like that's fab.
I think it's important. It can be so boring sometimes when you watch TV shows and it's always the same looking people and same kind of people. And then when you try to do something different, like people are scared. I think that's the thing. But we're here to change it.
Yes.
Work.
You're obviously very well aware, so, of your LGBT fan base, that you have a lot of gay fans.
We have so much to thank. Like, we wouldn't be here otherwise. Not. So, I mean, I can't even count all the great moments and all the pride festivals and everything that we've been doing and all the love that we've been getting. It's just, like, crazy. So...
Forever thankful.
Yeah, forever.
That's the one thing about gay fans. Once you have gay fans at the start of your career, they will look after you for the rest of your life. You're sorted.
And for life. So, I mean, good taste of music, I would have to say. It's always like gay fans always find the best music. And then...
And also send them so much good music all the time. Yeah, and just like, always. Have you heard this? Have you listened to this?
Yeah.
So it's always that back and forth of like, oh, you know, you kind of just keep each other in the loop.
Yeah,
like the best house music and dance music came from like ballroom and gays in New York, you
absolutely
know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my god, just talking about it wants me just I want to dance so badly.
Can you imagine a pride right now?
Yeah, I know. Can you come over and do pride with us, please, in Ireland, the four of us?
My god,
yes,
make it happen. We will be there.
Have you done a gig in Ireland before?
No.
So can we change that?
I don't think we have.
We have been with quickly with Katy Perry.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was, you can't count that as being in Ireland.
No, because it was just like,
yeah, it was in and out. But I mean, we so want to go, and the nature and everything seems beautiful.
And the way, I mean, I want to talk like, it sounds so stupid when a Swedish person talks English.
Yeah.
But like Irish, yeah, no, it's crazy. I want to talk.
It's so beautiful.
Like that. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I love Swedish accents. I think Swedish men speaking English is very sexy.
Oh, really? No.
We talk like this.
It's not bad.
Hello. It's really nice.
God, when I was growing up, all my favorite bands and musicians were Swedish. ABBA and Ace of Base and Roxette. Yes. But then, you know who my favorite band is? When I was a teenager, my favorite band was the A-Teens.
No. Like a super trooper, things are gonna fly.
We actually know.
Upside down.
Things are the ceiling, inside out.
Oh my god.
They have the best pop music.
Oh, really? What? Wow, that's amazing.
But they were huge.
They were even big. Yeah, they were huge.
Yeah. When you were teenagers in Sweden, like what music did you love?
Well, it was a mix. I loved a lot of British music, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Like indie pop, Bloc Party, The Clash, like all of that. But also I loved pop music.
So like NSYNC.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it was a wide mix of everything.
And like Aqua.
Oh my god, yes.
Like you mentioned being fans of NSYNC. What was it like getting to work with Justin Timberlake?
It was... No, that was crazy.
Yeah, no, that I can't even talk about it. I was in shock to see him in real life. He was like one of the big reasons why I started to do music. And then I was suddenly standing beside him and I was like, wow, he's really just a normal person.
Yeah, we were all like singing into the mic, doing harmonies. And I was like,
this is insane. And I never told him that he was one of the like big reasons why I started to make music. But I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Third class.
So cool.
So surreal.
No, so crazy. Like,
what just happened?
Yeah.
And then we FaceTimed with the other people in the band, like JC and...
when we were in Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't remember why. I think we were really drunk. Really drunk.
That was probably it.
And we were like, we love you, Sid.
We love you guys.
Dead. I remember the Trolls premiere in your hair was joined together. Like, that was
very cool. Yes.
That was fun. Until we had to pee.
We were like, how are we going to do this? Because we had to go into different booths and, you know, like, okay, you come with me and then I come with you. Or how should we do something? Yeah. Very, very complicated.
Obsessed.
I love it.
We were talking about the new music a while ago. You've released like 100 singles. Do you prefer to just do singles instead of an album?
I mean, it's been a little bit because we've been touring so much.
Yeah.
And we still love just... As soon as we can be, we love being in the studio and we want to release music to feed our fans, but we haven't really had the time to like put together a body of work. So that's actually our goal now, to do that, because we feel like we've been releasing a lot of singles, which we love, but we feel like it's time for something more like an album. Where all the songs that we've been writing can fit, even though not every song is a radio song, you know. It's just like I want to share everything that we've been writing. So that's what we're up to right now. Mm-hmm.
Is it like a typical Icona Pop, big like bangers?
I think it's going to be a mix between like old Icona Pop, but also like we've been doing some weird things as well. So I think it's going to be a mix of everything, but definitely Icona Pop bangers, but also
yes,
some slower songs and some more. Yeah, it's some sparkle.
It's gonna, yeah, and I mean it's gonna be something you can definitely dance to.
Yes, absolutely.
I like the idea of the slower songs. Swedish singers on mid-tempo and ballads are like the best. There's kind of like a melancholy, yeah, that thing that he can do and nobody else can do.
Yay. Yeah, no, it's, and I mean if you listen to our really early stuff, it's like, I mean Manners, for example, that mm-hmm. song is like super super slow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and we love songs like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we do.
So
yeah, they're beautiful.
Bittersweet
pop, but still electronic and danceable. Oh,
sounds beautiful.
Why do you think that is? Like Swedish people are able to do, like if you listen to like ABBA or AC Base, when they're singing, it's like sad, but it's like epic.
I think it's darkness.
Yeah, the darkness.
I mean, to be honest, as soon as the sun comes out, Swedes become like sluts in the best way. And they yes. just rip off their clothes and they drink wine like there's no tomorrow because we don't have sunlight
that often.
That often.
Mm-hmm. Is it just dark all the time?
During winter, it can be dark like almost 24/7.
Yeah.
But then during spring, the sun, during summer, it's the opposite. The sun never goes down.
Yeah.
So
so you come out from the club, it's 5 a.m. and it's still sunshine.
No way.
Oh, so that's cool.
That's actually quite nice.
The darkness is insane.
Yeah. And I think like people get really creative during those times mm-hmm. because I mean, it's not like we can hang out and spend the whole day on the beach and just be like, see you later. I think it's more of a creative bubble when it's a little bit more darkness.
Yeah. And then during summer, Swedish people get super lazy.
Yeah. And it's also like when you try to reach like a radio station, they're like, sorry, we have our 10 weeks vacation. Sorry, I can't talk to you. You know, like,
yeah, it is like they close the radio stations in June until like September.
Yeah, like everyone needs their vacation, right?
Word.
That is crazy. 10 fucking weeks. Like, how are you supposed to promote your music? I'd be like,
no, you should just, you have to like make it in time before they close the.
Oh, yeah.
The rotation.
Yeah.
That's so
interesting.
Is it difficult in Sweden, like as a new artist, to get your name out? Because I always notice that most Swedish singers, when they're trying to climb the ladder, always enter, I don't know how to pronounce it, Melody Festivalen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's like everywhere. I don't think it's easier or harder in Sweden. Yes, it's a small country, but it's also like as a new artist, in any way, you have to work really hard and find your ways to like come through.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think if you just work hard and don't give up, it's of course everyone will get their little, you know, spotlight and your chance. And I think a lot of people see Melody Festivalen or Eurovision like a good chance of exposure.
Mm.
And it's a lot of people watching, you know.
That's epic as well. Like, it is good.
People are having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's vibrant I agree. It's especially the last couple of years, it's been so many new artists.
Yeah.
I feel like before it was more like the same type of music and artists. I mean, it's huge in Sweden.
Do you find it like important because you have such a big platform? Do you like collaborating with Swedish artists?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. I think for the first time we're actually in Sweden for this long. So because when we came back to Sweden, we hadn't been here for such a long time. So we didn't even know what music they played in on the Swedish radio. And we realized that it was a lot of Swedish music. It's like, I think it's been a trend in Sweden to sing in Swedish. So, yeah. That's why I think there's been, like, there haven't been that much English, like
on the top charts.
Yeah, because everyone sings in Swedish.
And there's so much, it's so much talent in Sweden. Like, it's that we spend so much time in the US. And it's funny when people from here have interviews with us and they're like, can you recommend some new, like, Swedish music and clubs? And we're like, No, we can. And you can you recommend it to us because we're never home. Mm-hmm.
If we were to, me and Kiki, next summer, if we were to come to Stockholm, what is a typical night out with you if we were to go clubbing?
I mean, we would show you around for sure. Like, I think we would absolutely start with drinks pretty early and then maybe warm up with some karaoke.
Yes, we do absolute karaoke. And I mean, hopefully the sun would be shining, so we would go to like bar hopping, right?
Yeah, bar hopping for sure.
And then we would go to, then when we start to get pretty drunk,
yes,
or if we don't drink, you can just, when we started to be a little like loose in our clothes, we would go to a place, maybe a big one.
Yeah, like an outdoor venue.
It
like
feels like you're in Berlin.
Yeah.
And then we would end it up in a rave in the woods.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and maybe like 6 a.m. in the morning, we would go and take a swim.
Oh, wow.
And then we would go to me or Caroline.
Oh my God, Kiki, we're going to
me or Caroline, and then we would have breakfast together. Yes. And then we would do it all again.
And then we just keep on going.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love it. Our bars here close at like 2. So we could bring you bar hopping till 2, and then it would have to be a house party. That's all we can offer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay, crazy. So let me know when you come to Sweden. Don't come.
Yes.
Now. I mean, come in the summer.
Yeah, come in the summer.
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
I've been dying to go, probably because of the music, but I've been dying to go to Stockholm.
Please come.
Oh, I can't wait. 100%.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. This has been so fun. Like, you're so lovely to talk to.
Yeah, thank you so much. You're so sweet.
And can't wait to see you in real life.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I mean, next time we'll do this in real life.
This has been such a pleasure, honestly.
Yeah, you're too sweet.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
They were so lovely.
I love it. Lovely gals. Lovely gals.
When are we going to Stockholm?
Tomorrow. Let's go tomorrow.
Yes. Icona Pop, you've never followed this up. We need you to pay for our flights because we're not as successful as you, mm-hmm. ladies. So I'd love to go to Sweden. I'm actually going to Stockholm in November to see Loreen.
Lovely.
I'm also going to see her in Dublin the same month.
Lovely.
You know, I love Loreen. Mm-hmm. And I actually got tickets to her in Stockholm because Dublin had sold out. And my friend was like, let's go to Stockholm. I've never been. I've always wanted to go. So I bought those tickets. And then she was like, oh, I'm upgrading the venue in Dublin. And my friend got me tickets to the one in Dublin.
She's
like,
double booked.
I'm double booked. I want to dress up as Loreen and stand front row and just stare at her.
She loved that.
My pointy nail tattoo. They were brilliant. I loved that. And it was really just fucking cool, like filming them in the recording studio and just seeing, you know, hearing what they're up to. And now this month the album is out. So
yeah, and it sounds like a bop as well. So
it's really, really good. Go listen to Club Romantech. And thank you so much to Icona Pop for coming on the pod. Oh my God, what a fortnight it's been. What are you up to this weekend, my love? Are you going to splash some cooling water on your face because you're very red? Is that from?
I am just very red. I'm a little worried about how red I am. It looks like some crazy rosacea.
It could be the jaundice flaring back up.
I don't know. I think I do need to go see a skin doctor or a medical professional of some kind. So I say that might be on the cards. But I'm nervous right now.
Are you working this weekend?
Yeah. You know me. I like to do a little DJ gig here and there.
Although
I feel DJ is a bit more of a professional word than what I actually am. I just call myself.
Yes, like I've like pioneer decks behind me, and I'm like going to do a session. Whereas, what would you call what you do through Spotify?
Professional music player lady.
A playlist.
Yeah.
DJ.
Oh no, girl! I drag and drop. There ain't no playlist happening.
Oh, do you do a nice little drag? And does when you're dragging them in, like do they fade into each other?
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly. So, okay. Like, what's the difference? I still have the place fucking hopping, whether I'm on Pioneers or whether I'm on freaking Spotify.
That's true.
My thing in life, okay?
Yes.
Don't come for me. And if some fucker ever comes up to my laptop,
if you're listening, please book Kiki on her Spotify. Yeah, imagine you, like, just like this, fag in hand. your vodka Red Bull and you're just dragging and dropping. It's just you and like an iPod.
Oh my God, stop. Now listen, I trained on decks. I trained on CDs and stuff. But I was like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
At this stage, it fucking feels like it. But I said, what's the fucking point? I can still get the same
effect.
Yeah,
I did a gig in... it was when I was covering your gig and you were at the wedding and you had a DJ and he was DJing on CDs and he was like, I only DJ on CDs.
Yeah, that is so funny, John. He's literally stuck in the 90s. He's gas. Loves the CD. Loves
John. He was also telling me that he's really enjoying the podcast. So John, if you're listening.
DJ John, we love you.
DJ John. John, I will send you a USB and start updating.
He will never. It will be 2050 and he'll still be on that stage and gas with these CDs.
And you lose the CDs, you know? Or remember when, I remember when I started DJing, like, oh my God, before I started doing drag 15 years ago, and sometimes they'd skip.
Oh shit, yeah.
Remember that? Like, I would just be like, in the middle of something. Like, eject the CD and get the next one on. At least if something goes wrong, you know, with USB, if the mix isn't right and it doesn't queue up properly, you can, like, fade things out. And, like, you know, anyway, that's just some DJ talk.
Yeah, that's just some professional DJ talk.
So you are DJing tomorrow or you're performing tomorrow. You're curating a night.
Curating a night, yeah. So when I'm DJing, I don't perform because I'm very expensive to do both. So you can get one or the other. Yes. What are you doing?
What am I doing? I don't think I'm doing anything. Oh, yes, I'm flying to New York. I have to get my life together today and then I have a really early trip to New York tomorrow. I'm going to New York for 3 weeks. In New York. Oh, I've never been to New York before. I'm really, really excited.
Have you never been? No, I haven't been either, but I'm just surprised you haven't been. You're a very well-traveled lady.
I've done shows in California. This is my first time I'm going to be performing for 4 or 5 gigs in New York. On the East Coast. You know, shooting a little tour. Mm-hmm. It's just a very dragged out tour. You know, California was 5 years ago. How much am I really supposed to? And it was like over 10 years. No, I'm just really excited. I mean, obviously the gigs are going to be fun, but I'm just really excited to... Okay, so I have this kind of, what would you call it, presumption or idea that I'm going to be Carrie Bradshaw skipping in the puddles and like running around New York. But in reality, I'm going to be like thrown into like trash bags and like,
rats, you know, there's going to be rats
everywhere and like everything. I mean, I kind of hope I see both sides. I'm staying in a nice area and I know, I don't think I've ever booked a trip for this long before. I'm usually like a week and a half. Mm-hmm. So for like a month, I'm just excited to just to explore and, I don't know. I kind of want to live my Broad City life. I want to like meet lots of guys.
Do lots of shopping.
Have lots of men buy me things. So if any, I mean, do we have listeners in New York? I think we do.
Everywhere, darling. Dubai.
Actually, somebody was booking me for a gig over there, and they were like, "Would you do a live taping of the podcast in the venue?" And I went, "Well, one, it's with another queen, and two, I think that would be really weird. I don't think we have a big enough following."
I only fly Delta as well, so
Delta work.
Yeah, just load her up.
I'm sorry. I know we're like rambling. I'm obsessed with Delta work.
Oh, where did this come out of? I just love the way she talks. I love the way that she talks.
She's so refreshing. She's doing her... I love a queen that just does their own thing and doesn't give any fucks. And she's that queen. And I'm obsessed with... If you're not listening to Delta Works podcast or following her on Instagram, please do. Like, she's so funny.
Just Delta on Spotify. Oh, so cute.
So, so good. Actually, I would love to have her on the pod. Like, kiss. Yeah. Anyway, listen, girl, I have to go get ready for the Big Apple.
I mean, Jessica Parker for
a Cosmo, but I'm going to be updating it. I might update my social media with a few bits.
Oh, lovely. Do keep us filled in.
Oh, I'll keep you filled in. Well,
I'm not giving you my Instagram because I don't use social media. I'm so bad. No, I might upload a picture.
Will you give me your credit card details? Because I am a bit broke.
Sure. You know what, girl? Just take the company card, okay?
I'll take the company card. I'll put it on the expenses. Yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah, yeah. So listen, I'm going to go... I have to dash. I have to get things ready. We'll be in touch.
Yeah. You're going to New York. I'm going back to bed and nursing this hangover off me.
We will be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Friends of Dorothy. And the guest that is coming up is so iconic. Another 90s and noughties star from many of our favorite TV shows and movies.
I'm excited now. I can't remember. Oh, Yes.
Yes, this is going to be a really good episode. So I'm loving these episodes. They're just people that we're like obsessed with and that we love. Like, it's great. So in the meantime, please subscribe, rate, review, and follow us at Friends of Dorothy. And thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
For you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
And to all a good night.
Gaurav Mahagut. Ihava. Did I say that right? Yay! A+.